Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Queens residents are outraged over Amazon's HQ2 plan to turn Long Island City into a company town.
I think that was a question mark. Or is that an exclamation point? We'll find out when we speak later on. I assume it's an exclamation point. And now we're heading to Long Island City, where Mr. Jeff Bezos thinks that the city should be rolling out the red carpet for him. And my goodness, I guess they did. But people have other things in mind.
Introduce our state senator, Mike Gianaris.
This is a bad deal. The state and the city should both be embarrassed to be standing behind this deal. Yeah. They got taken.
Played like a fiddle.
Amazon pitted everyone against each other, and guess what? They ended up in the two places everybody knew they were going to end up in anyway. The only difference is we're out $3 billion here in New York. We are not stopping. We are just beginning. We will go to court. We will take legislative action. But they are clearly trying very hard to give the people of New York virtually no say about this whole deal.
That's right.
Think about how crazy this is. A private company forced the government to sign a secrecy agreement and not tell its own people what it was doing with its money.
That's right.
Now that they're actually announced the deal, they want to make sure the city council doesn't get to vote on it. They want to make sure the state legislature doesn't get to vote on it. But we're here to say that is unacceptable. The people have a right to be heard on this issue, and this is their community.
This is a democracy.
The subways are in crisis. We don't have enough public school seats. The rents are going through the roof in Long Island City. And just yesterday, just because this deal was announced, the predatory speculators came to town and started buying up apartments by text message without even seeing the apartments. The infrastructure of Long Island City is already being stretched to its limits. This is a community that's bursting at the seams. Good people that have made Long Island City so great that Jeff Bezos wants to come here are being priced out of their own homes. We have just begun to fight. Strap yourselves in and get ready. We are not giving up until we scuttle this deal, scrap it, throw it in the garbage, and start the conversation all over again.
Yeah. Please welcome Assemblywoman Arabella Simotas.
Thank you. The truth is, this deal stinks. Honesty and fair dealing really require that you don't secretly give the richest man on earth all of these subsidies. We don't even know how much we're talking about. Clearly, we have to make sure that we invest in our infrastructure, invest in our schools, invest in the working people of this community who made Long Island City what it is today. I am here to fight with you because really, again, this deal stinks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arabella.
I'd like to introduce to you Deborah Axe, the executive director of Make the Road New York.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is lining the pockets of the richest man in the history of the world with the money that our communities have contributed to our tax base. Not to mention his active partnerships with ICE, the Department of Defense. Amazon is partnering to deport our community members and destroy our jobs. This is the moment when we need to stand up and say, enough is enough.
Thank you, Deborah. And we are gonna do whatever it takes to stop this process and make Amazon feel it. Just this morning, I took out my phone, I deleted the Amazon app off my phone, and I will no longer be purchasing from Amazon.
Yeah. Boycott.
Hashtag boycott Amazon. If people want to join in, let's make that happen.
Daniel Gross from Brand Workers.
We're a nonprofit membership organization of the workers, mostly Latino, Asian, African American, who report to work in the food factories of New York City. We are right now in the heart of a historic and present-day neighborhood for the manufacture of food. Local food manufacturing means the potential of good jobs for marginalized communities. Brand Workers members make fresh food, wholesome, artisan bread, hummus, fresh-cut vegetables. We desperately need industrial space so Brand Workers members can go to work. New Jersey, others are competing aggressively to take our food manufacturing jobs away. Amazon here will decimate food manufacturing in the neighborhood of Long Island City and surrounding areas.
Aquí estamos y no nos vamos. Aquí estamos y no nos vamos.
Well, that was not the first, but one of the first demonstrations in Long Island City, and I dare say there's probably something similar in Crystal City. As we talk about Queens residents are outraged over Amazon HQ2 plan to turn Long Island City into, I think, a company town.
And our guests, we welcome R. Mirza Silva-Faro, who's the executive director of Align, Alliance for a Greater New York, and Greg LeRoy, who's the executive director of Good Jobs First. Greg, let's just start first in terms of the proposals themselves. What is being given to Amazon by the city and the state? I know you can probably go on for a year about this.
Can you? because do we yet know? That's one of the real catastrophes of all of this.
We know some of it. And great to be with you, Ken and Mimi, and hi, Maritza. So
hi.
We know of at least $2.8 billion, almost $3 billion, as the Assemblyman said, of subsidies that are already greased by the Cuomo administration and by automatic subsidies from the city that this deal is slated to qualify for. That adds up to about $112,000 plus per job, which is a very expensive deal. And, you know, so that's the problem. And as many of the speakers said, and I'm so glad you said that, you know, this is a company that doesn't deserve or need any subsidies. This is a company already growing rapidly. This is a company that's already gotten huge tax breaks from many data centers, many of its warehouses. We've documented $1.6 billion in subsidies already for projects it has to build, right? It has to have warehouses to deliver all those prime deliveries so rapidly. It has to have data centers to be the biggest cloud computing company in the world. And it's got to have more headquarters because it's growing and it's bursting at the seams in Seattle, and they want access to other labor markets. So this is an example of your state and city paying a juggernaut company and the wealthiest man in the world to do what they had to do otherwise.
I can't help but say, when you say the wealthiest man in the world, you know, the company itself, right? The company itself is, it surpassed Microsoft in right. 2018 in February, making it the world's third most valuable company. And Jeff Bezos, who has 78.9 million shares of Amazon stock, is the richest man of all time with an estimated net worth of $105 billion. Why isn't he paying into our coffers, Maritza?
Hello, Greg, Mimi, and also Ken. Thank you so much for having me on your show. This is moment actually reminds me a little bit during the times of the Walmart fight. You all were on it as well, covering and also listening about like how Walmart was creating these labor standards back then. And it is sort of a repetition in terms of thinking about these kind of companies, as Amazon is a corporate bully. Basically, they just want to come into our communities with no accountability. They have practices where there has been so many issues around worker protections for workers across the country and across the globe, really. So this is the kind of company that makes it so that if they feel entitled. And it is unfortunate that our governor and our mayor have not actually made the right calculation here. Instead of standing on the side of workers, excuse me.
See, Maritza's been going to too many demonstrations. Her voice.
I think she was in a marathon meeting before this talk. About
that I'm sure she was in. That's what Maritza does. Should we let you grab a glass of water?
Yeah, let me come back.
Okay, we're going to pick it up with Greg.
Greg, you had mentioned at the end of your, when you asked you, that they would have come here anyway. Do you really believe that? Come here in Virginia, do they have to create this nationwide search of all over the country, cities and states begging them to come there and raising all this money to bring them. Do they want to be here? And then why should we want them?
Well, I do believe, and I've said many times, that I think Amazon knew what the short list of possible locations was before they ever created this public auction. And I think the purpose of the public auction was just to create pressure for more tax breaks from its final choices. And the $4 billion that we can already identify in the two locations makes this the fourth biggest single economic development tax break deal in U.S. history. It'll probably end up being the third biggest because of the Foxconn deal in Wisconsin that's basically melting down. So it really looks like a cynical exercise. You know, when we know that they encouraged Virginia Beach and Frisco, Texas, and, you know, Calgary and all these other places that clearly never had a prayer to submit bids and to spend all this time and all this money on bids that never had a chance, it looks like a very cynical exercise.
I want to just also ask you, Greg, and hope that Maritza has recuperated a little bit. For me, the question, this dangling, this prospect, what a lovely prospect, of 25,000 jobs. And what I had said to you, Greg, when we spoke previously was Queensbridge Housing Project, the largest project in the country, which has a desperate need for jobs for its residents. It is highly unlikely. There is very, very little likelihood that any of the people there or in the surrounding communities will wind up getting any of those jobs. There's certainly no training programs to put them into those jobs, and the jobs that might be created in terms of construction are largely unavailable because of the shape of the unions and getting one's license and so on and so forth. They're not part of that structure, and they're not going to wind up with those construction jobs either. So I'm interested in what your experience has been about the realization of jobs for community there. And Maritza, yourself as well. And then we can, of course, talk about what's going to happen to the housing prices and all the rest and the gentrification. But Greg, Maritza?
Well, I'll defer to Maritza mostly. I mean, mainly, let's remember, this is a headquarters, a corporate headquarters. So most of the jobs are going to be white-collar jobs. They're going to be hiring lawyers and CPAs and marketing specialists and software engineers. I'm not thinking there's too many candidates for those jobs living in the public housing project. So the question is, how many of the support jobs and janitorial and security jobs could be staffed by residents from that area?
So we know that Amazon will do far more harm than good for workers and communities in New York City. We know that because Amazon has a history of dragging workers down, not lifting them up. Right? We've seen that in the warehouses. Right now we know that there's a couple of them that are expanding in New York. And Greg is right, that most of those jobs in this particular headquarters are going to be jobs for folks who are not going to be able to access. So, I mean, to me, the problem here is that we are giving so much subsidies away to one of the wealthiest corporations in the planet, but also we are allowing for this company to perhaps do what is already happening in our city, is like gentrification of our communities in terms of housing. It's already happening. We experienced this in Long Island City. And now what we're going to see with Amazon is the expansion of the gentrification of our housing in the neighborhood overall, but also the gentrification of jobs. So we also have to learn about what happened in Seattle, what's happening in Silicon Valley, and how when there is no enough of support for community folks to be able to access to these kind of jobs, we are only, you know, having these amazing talking points of 25,000 jobs as like this great deal that we're doing for our communities. And it's still that trickle-down economy concept has not been functioning or has not been helpful. for our communities and for our city. Back in the day, we were with Greg and others working closely on looking at the all of the subsidies at the state level, because they were have been given to many corporations that do not create the jobs for our community members, rather create poverty. So there is no reason to think that things will be different with Amazon right now.
Maritza, am I hearing right? Are you basically saying that we don't want Amazon to come in? Because that's my position in any event, that it will cause more harm than good. The subsidies be damned. Even if they say, forget the subsidies, we want to come into that area. Do we want them there?
No, we don't. We don't want this kind of company in our city. I can just tell you that, you know, New York City progressive values don't match up with Amazon's values. No matter how many times the mayor wants to say that, the reality is not the case. Like right now, I'm meeting with many people. That's why I lost my voice, actually, essentially, from the progressive movement and beyond, who are outraged about this problem. And the reality is that people are going to stand up. People are going to be asking about what is actually needed in our communities, and what we need at the end of the day is investment. From the taxpayers' money, already giving the money to be able to invest in housing, in real job creation, workforce development, that we can be giving to our neighborhoods rather than giving it to this company. We can be doing those things. That's one thing that I want to share. The other piece is that this agreement that the governor and the mayor just talked about so much as a great thing, it's not even binding. Right, it's just an MOU, and who knows, what Amazon will do later on. It's just something that we might not be able to ever hold them accountable to. And we have to be very wary and careful. And the governor and the mayor actually did not think about any of the things that the communities are experiencing today.
And we're speaking with Maritza Silva-Farrell, Executive Director of Alliance for Greater New York, and Greg LeRoy, Executive Director for Good Jobs First. And you've been studying these issues. So, Greg, put some more meat on the bone, because I was actually in the pizzeria in my neighborhood when I first heard and saw an interview with Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio. Saying we are giving goose eggs, we are giving nothing to Amazon, nothing of the city coffers there, and we are going to get 25,000 jobs. So while Ken and Maritza might say, snap, goodbye, Amazon, I know that there's still considerable amounts of the public are saying, what are you talking about? We can force them to do job training and stuff for the local residents, and then we wind up with a $100,000 job. What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm struck by how you spoke about that. I hope this day doesn't become like 10 years later people can say, I remember where I was when I heard the news, the terrible news.
It's very good pizza, I should say. The TV was on.
Put a plaque in the pizza shop where you heard that.
Yeah, so
well,
look.
Smiling Pizzeria, it's really good.
The idea that your mayor could stand up and saying he's giving nothing to the company is just pure baloney. Right, there's two enormous programs that are what we call as-of-right programs. That is, they are automatic programs, one big property tax abatement program especially, and another sort of tax rebate program that are together worth almost $1.3 billion for a deal this size if they hire that many people. And I think that these programs were never intended to be kind of giant open-ended ATMs for companies coming into New York. I think they should be capped. They should never be allowed to pay out that much money for one single project. The amount of money embedded in those two subsidies is worth almost as much as is coming from the state, from the Cuomo administration. This is absolutely a co-bankrupt deal by the city and the state. Don't kid yourselves.
And have you experienced, what has been your experience in other venues to help us take from that and understand what the potential is for people who are harder to convince that this is not good for Long Island City, it's not good for Crystal City, it's not good for working people?
Well, I think the it's about education, right? It's about making sure people understand that there was a lot of apples and oranges and bologna getting cut on the day this deal was announced.
Salami.
Right? So, for example, the Amazon press release referred to $48,000 in subsidies per job, but they were cherry picking, right? They were taking only one of the three big pots of money when they made that calculation. And in the same sentence, then they juxtapose $150,000 average salary as if to suggest that 48 could be compared to 150. But of course, it can't be compared. These are apples and oranges, right? 48,000 is taxpayer money out. 150 is a private salary. Only a tiny portion of that will get paid in taxes to offset the 48. It was deliberately written to suggest that taxpayers were going to get rich, that they were going to get a 3-to-1 return, when nothing of the sort is true.
Maritza, I wanted to ask you about the meeting in which you lost your voice. Okay. I wanted to ask you about what was being discussed there, because I know that was about further actions. I know a number of different groups independently are doing things, but what is the coalition that held the demonstration last week? Who are they, and what's next up?
I mean, you will see soon enough, and we'll definitely notify you when we are ready to. But a lot of discussions has happened, and folks are very concerned. There are serious questions remaining about this deal and what it actually mean to the city. And what Greg just said is totally right. It requires a little bit of education to ensure that we all understand that it has no be any, there is no privilege for us to have Amazon come into Long Island City. So we have had some conversations. We will, announce a few things that we will be doing soon enough. We'll talk soon about it. Not ready to just share details at this point. But one thing I will say is that large amount of people are coming together from all corners of the city to oppose this deal in big numbers.
Let me ask you this. We don't want to alert the police to exactly what coordinates where we're all going to be at this point. We'll call that breaking news when it breaks. But what I do want to know is, to what extent have any of the public officials now said that, aside from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right on, but are there others who are on board with the community? And then I just want to ask Greg, in his experience, where are they going as good jobs first?
So in terms of other elected officials, I mean, you already have seen at the press conference that we had last week, Council Member Jimmy Van Bramer has been outspoken about not only about the millions of dollars or billions of dollars, rather, that we are trying to give to this company, maybe the governor actually trying to give to the company, but also about the process itself, right? We're talking also about a level of accountability where the city council has been left completely in the dark in terms of how these decisions were made. And, of course, council members are really outraged about that as well. Similarly, with Senator Gennaris, those are the two people who represent the area and have been very outspoken in the press in opposition to what's been happening with Amazon. But, yeah, transparency is one of the main points that I've been hearing a lot. I just want to touch on one more thing before we move on to the other piece that I think it's really critical to just emphasize to the question that you ask in relation to, like, okay, so but other people think that there could be 25,000 jobs coming into our city. That sounds like a good thing. Well, I think what folks might not realize, if people who might think and are hopeful, rightly so, to just like say a company as big as Amazon is bringing some jobs and maybe my kid can get into the tech industry and that's the future, right? So there's hope, and I think that's right. The problem is that we actually experienced not too long ago how this company bullied in a terrible way to their own home in Seattle. Right, the location of Amazon in Seattle and the headquarters there really made it so that the entire community got destroyed. So I think people need to understand about what it means to bring this kind of monopoly into a city
and
that is mostly small business owners, you know, controlled, but community engagement. So our city is going to completely change.
Maritza, let me just stop you long enough to get in, because we're going to keep on top of this with a line. But I want Greg to get in the last word, since What is to be done? What's happening with Good Jobs First since you've got Crystal City and you've been looking at the whole country? And we got about 1 minute.
Sure. So we've been very actively working with the people in New York and with the people in Northern Virginia, and they are communicating with each other and learning from each other. But we're also very concerned about the other 235 cities whose bids weren't taken up, and we're urging them to all disclose. Everybody must disclose their bids. Now, they were not covered by non-disclosure agreements. We know already that Pittsburgh's deal was bigger than any that was known. It was $9.7 billion. We know that Toronto's bid, which got disclosed early, has become a big, successful economic development magnet calling card for that city. We suspect there's lots of other crazy stuff in some of these bids, and we certainly, at the end of the day, we don't want Jeff Bezos to own and monetize this data. And the only way we can prevent that is by getting it into the public domain.
And you will find out by continuing to listen to Building Bridges what Maritza has up her sleeve for protest and what the whole city has to be up in arms about. We want to thank Maritza Silva-Farrell, Executive Director of Alliance for a Greater New York, and Greg LeRoy, Executive Director of Good Jobs First, which is what we want, Good Jobs First. And we'll keep on close watch on this very critical issue. Take that, Jeff Bezos. Thank you both for joining us. And we're going to go out with White Man in a Business Suit. How appropriate.
This is for all you big government Wall Street types. Well, I was watching TV at election time. There were two candidates trying to lay it on the line. One of them looked like he was training to be cute. He was a white man in a business suit. I looked at the other, he was equally astute. He was a white man in a business suit. Well, they kept on talking, they didn't make sense. They both seemed to be on the same side of the fence. There was no real debate, it was a phony dispute. They were just two white men in business suits. If you want to be the president, better learn to salute and be a white man in a business suit. He's a white man in a business suit. If a single one of them are in cahoots, he's running the US, Europe, and Russia too. He's a white man in a business suit.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.